This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Wednesday afternoon, November 6th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The bulls are indeed running on Wall Street today, but markets could be getting ahead of themselves. We'll take a closer look at our next segment. Today is Personal Finance Wednesday, and the results of the presidential election will have an impact on your pocketbook. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at AndrewBush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andy, thank you for joining us today. And when the book is written about the 2024 election, I would imagine that inflation was the issue that brought voters to the polls and led them, many, to vote for Donald Trump for a second or perhaps even a third time. And even though inflation is now at close to that 2% target, Andy, the Fed set nearly 3 years ago. For anybody going to the grocery store, prices are still substantially higher than they were in 2019. And President-elect Trump has said that he will try to address higher prices and bring them down back to where they were 5 years ago. Is that possible?
I would say it's really difficult to do that. I mean, prices went up significantly, and they're only going up a little bit at a time now. To reduce them back to 2020 is like trying to get back in the time machine, right, and set it back for that time. That's not going to happen. So many things have changed since then. The markets are extraordinarily rallying today, especially the Russell 2000, which expects a lot of good things from a deregulatory standpoint, but also protectionism. These are small businesses that mainly do business here in the United States and certainly would aid them overall. But I think we'll have to wait to see how the House turns out. But this is what we would call a red wave. I'd be stunned to see if the Republicans don't take the House because of it's a landslide victory for President Trump.
One of the key promises he made throughout the campaign was to place tariffs on imports and use that to supplement, pay for tax cuts. A 10 to 20% tariff on all foreign imports, a 60% tariff on imports from China, 100 to 200% imports on automobiles produced in Mexico. How would these tariffs, if they were implemented, filter to the American consumer?
Well, they'd raise the price of almost all of those things. This is not something you can do in isolation. Why do I say that? Because all of our trade partners are going to do exactly the same thing to us. Agriculture will be first, then, you know, Harley Davidson's, Kentucky Bourbon, you name it. So what President Trump has done in the past, though, is he's used this as a bargaining method to get what he wants out of our trade partners. But the legality of a 20% tariff hike across the board on everything coming into the country, I'm not sure he's got the capability to do it. It'll be challenged in court for sure. But it's highly inflationary is what he's doing. And it will not produce the amount of money that he wants to offset his tax cuts that he's talking about. So it's kind of fanciful. But really, I mean, the economic policies he wants to institute, that got a lot of Americans out and voting. Basically, this has been a referendum on the Biden administration's handling of the economy, and especially when it comes to inflation, more than anything that Trump will do.
And this is going to lead to an interesting conversation, Andy, but at a later date, and that is about the utility of fiscal policy and what was used to get the economy going coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, and whether policymakers will pursue that again because the political cost apparently has been so high. But we'll have that conversation, Andy, at a later date. Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at AndrewBush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a look at financial markets from the perspective of veteran observer Mark Hulbert.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's a lot of bullishness on Wall Street as stocks surge sharply higher, but this can also be risky for investors. Too much optimism, along with the classic buy the rumor, sell the news situation, could signal a potential sell-off. Joining us with a contrarian view on stocks is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And already talking to a couple of people who play the markets on a daily basis, saying they're selling today. They're cashing in on this bull run that has been going on ever since it looked very clear that Donald Trump was heading to a second non-consecutive term in the White House. What is the contrarian view on a situation such as this?
Well, the contrarian view is, in short, that, you know, when there's a huge amount of optimism, it's a good time to get out. And when there's a lot of fear, it's a good time to get in the market. And, of course, today we're seeing a huge amount of exuberance. There are any of a number of other indicators that also indicate that exuberance, but we don't have to go through all of them just to know to see what we're seeing in the market today, that this is exuberance in spades. And one of the things that I find a real head-scratcher is that there are things that are happening in the market today that are contradictory. I'll just mention one of them. The 10-year interest rate, the 10-year yield on the U.S. Treasury bond has gone way up today, which is usually terrible for stocks. It provides a competition to stocks, makes bonds more attractive, and so forth. And yet you have stocks skyrocketing in the face of a huge increase in interest rates. And both of those moves cannot happen simultaneously forever. And so there's something else going on, and I think it's just basically an exuberance hitting the market that may not have really looked at the underlying fundamentals that much, but just decided to cheer and buy stocks.
One of the catchphrases that we hear a lot when it comes to market timing or market observing is buy the rumor, sell the news. And generally, how do you identify the rumor, and then how do you identify the news?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's particularly relevant to ask that question now because I'm not sure what the rumor was. There were a lot of people who were calling the Trump trade, whenever the market went up, saying, well, that's because the market is discounting a Trump victory. And yet, when I actually looked at the data, I didn't see evidence that that's really what was happening. And, for example, one thing I did is I looked at the trades for the Trump contract in these electronic futures markets, which now are all the rage, where you can bet on each one of the possibilities in the presidential contest, and you can see what the implied odds are by the trading at those electronic futures market. And I found that on average over the last 6 months, every time the odds of a Trump victory went up, according to those futures contracts, the stock market went down. So insofar as you would look at what the data were trying to tell us, what the rumor might have been that we now can sell in the news, it would have been that the stock market wouldn't have gone up in the face of a Trump victory. And if you don't believe me, just turn to Elon Musk, his ally. He said he thought the market would crash 1,000 points if he won. And so all of these things add up to just a real head scratcher as to why the market would shoot up in the face of what otherwise was an expectation that might be just the opposite.
Maybe it was just simply a case of history repeating itself, because the markets also shot up or roughly 1,000 points the morning after it became obvious he was going to win in 2016. And what happened to market performance shortly after that, moving into 2017? A lot of that exuberance eventually burned off.
Well, that's right. And then, of course, if we want to go back in history, go back just 4 years to this exact day 4 years ago, which was at the point where we didn't know who was going to win the election, and the market shot up a lot that week. As you may recall, the election was on Tuesday, and it wasn't called by the major networks until the following Saturday, 4 days later. And during that 4-day period, the market was up over 1,000 points. And so one can tell a story saying that just basically the market finally likes to resolve whatever uncertainty there might be and decides to go up when that uncertainty is resolved.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, making the move from worker to manager.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Getting a big promotion and becoming a manager can be a great career move, but it can also be tricky to navigate, especially when supervising former co-workers and friends. Joining us to discuss how to handle it all is Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company in Chicago. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. And that's a very interesting topic because that happens quite a bit, especially at this radio station. We've had a number of people here over the decades who have come in as an associate producer or maybe a writer and worked their way up through the ranks and eventually made it all the way up to, used to be called program director, but now brand manager. But you're in a situation where you are making tough decisions about former peers and feelings could be hurt potentially.
Yes, absolutely. I actually even had it happen to me myself. And so it's definitely tricky areas to kind of tread through. Obviously, you want to be successful, you want to maintain your relationships, but you know, overall, you have a job to do, which is leading, and, you know, that will come across some tricky conversations.
Now, if you make the jump into management and all of a sudden you are managing your former peers and people you used to hang out with and go to parties and birthday parties and things like that, what can you do to make sure that you maintain those good feelings and that you're a fair manager and you're not showing any favoritism based on your former position?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you have to kind of settle into the role, right? And not come in trying to upset the world or make all kinds of crazy changes. I think you have to recognize that your relationship is going to change a little bit. You know, while you were friends before, now there's a different dynamic to, you know, maybe how you have to address certain situations or, you know, dole out workload, et cetera. You know, one thing I always recommend doing is sitting down and just having a one-on-one conversation with each of your new reports. You know, don't assume that just because you were friends, you know what their goals and aspirations, what their struggles, you know, what their training needs are, et cetera. Kind of establish that new situation. But, you know, I think it's important to explain to them that, you know, they can expect certain things from you, but then set some clear expectations on what you expect from them and that new relationship.
And then very quickly, what happens if one of your direct reports, because you guys, you two were, you know, buddies and pals when you're working in the trenches together, all of a sudden, you know, that person does not recognize your authority or give you the respect you deserve because they still think they're your buddy from way back when?
Yeah, I think it puts you in a situation where you just have to sit down and have a difficult conversation to right size and get back on, you know, the right track where your relationship is concerned. But avoiding it is not going to help the situation. Again, you've got a job to do and communication is the key component.
Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Personal Finance Wednesday, a lesson in how to retire.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. President-elect Trump says he'll focus on the economy and immigration when he takes office. The latest coming up at a CBS News special report. The Chicago Teachers Union has come up short with its candidates for the elected school board. In Personal Finance Wednesday, a strategy to provide a healthy, happy, and wealthy retirement. And some suburban malls are experiencing a renaissance. WBBM Business. The markets are higher. The Dow is up 1,466 points. The NASDAQ up 500. The S&P 500 up 137. We have 51 degrees right now in Chicago at O'Hare. Cloudy skies, 54 at Midway. And at the lakefront, we have 52 degrees. Glenview, cloudy, and 51. It's 1231.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
CBS News Special Report.
Certainly a happy day for the GOP.
Minority Leader Mitch McConnell reacting to the election with Republicans taking control of the Senate and Donald Trump's win. CBS's Jared Hill.
Trump's campaign strategy to appeal to people who don't vote frequently in key battleground states worked, ultimately putting him well over the required 270 electoral votes.
Aaron Navarro reports we will hear from Kamala Harris in a few hours.
We expect her to acknowledge the results, and we also expect her to call former President Trump at some point this afternoon to officially concede.
Jill Schlesinger on the markets.
Stocks jumped at the opening bell as investors bet that a second Trump presidency will usher in an extension of the tax cuts that went into effect in the beginning of 2018, as well as a light regulatory touch.
And on Wall Street, the Dow is up more than 1,400 points. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
It's 12:32. For the first time in Chicago history, voters got the chance to elect members of the city's Board of Education. The Chicago Teachers Union backed candidates in each of the 10 districts, but individuals not supported by the CTU won in several races. They included Carlos Rivas in the 3rd district.
I want to make sure that we don't balance the budget on the backs of homeowners and renters in our city, especially in my community, especially in our district that experienced so much gentrification over the last 2 decades that I've seen since growing up in the neighborhood.
Mayor Johnson gets to appoint 11 of the 21 members of the new school board, but in 2 years, voters will elect all of them. It's 12:32. Markets are substantially higher. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like it's a tale of two markets. And I want to begin by talking about the equities markets, which are roaring today. And how much of this, this rally can be attributed to expectation of a much more pro-business regulatory environment from the incoming Trump White House? And how much of this is just relief that we actually know who the winner of the election is going to be?
Well, probably mostly the former. That I'm sure everybody is happy that there is no uncertainty and there's going to be a peaceful and orderly transition of power. But the markets are very, very bullish on Trump's economic program. As you just said in the CBS report, you know, low taxes, less regulation, more mergers and acquisitions, higher economic growth, higher profits. And that's what's exciting the market today. What we have to look for going down the road, whom does he bring in as cabinet members? Are they going to be sensible, centrist, practical members, or are they going to be more ideologically rigid? And then we have to look at his tariff policy. Is it going to be as aggressive as he campaigned on, and does that lead to trade wars? And then the third thing we're going to have to look at is if you do cut taxes and don't offset it with spending cuts, what does that do for the deficit and interest rates? So those are the three things we're going to have to be watching. But right now the markets are celebrating what they think is going to be higher growth and higher profits.
The 10-year yield up to 4.4, and that's also a pretty hefty pop today as well. And is the bond market basically reflecting all of the uncertainty you just mentioned in terms of tariff policies and possibly reversing the flow on inflation, the progress we've had so far? I'm bringing it down back to 2%.
Yeah, that there is a risk in that we next year we see inflation, both growth and inflation reaccelerating, and then it becomes a tug of war between interest rates and profit growth. And if profit growth can compensate for the rise in interest rates, well, that's okay. On the other hand, that's at some level of interest rate, it constrains valuation, and of course we have to make sure that foreigners are willing to continue to buy our treasuries. From what I can tell, people think that there's room for treasuries to go to 5%, the 10-year to go to 5%. After that, it's going to be a problem for the financial markets if, in fact, it goes there.
And then very quickly, what does this mean for the Fed tomorrow? Because before the election, we were talking about a 25 basis point cut or maybe another half point cut. What's going through Jay Powell's head right now?
Well, I think he wants to stay away from politics. I think they are very anxious to get the rate down to about 4%. I think that they'll do the expectation is that they are going to do 2-quarter point cuts this year and then maybe pause early next year to look at the economy, inflation and the Trump program. And we may end up with less cuts next year than the Fed had in their last dot plot. But it looks like you're going to get another 50 basis points of cuts.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearset Advisors in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, tips for entering retirement.
It's the only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. As you move toward retirement, it's important to have a plan to make it as comfortable and enjoyable as possible. We welcome in Christine Benz, Director of Personal Finance and Retirement Planning for Morningstar in Chicago. And she's a brand new book, How to Retire, 20 Lessons for a Happy, Successful, and Wealthy Retirement. One might say, Christine, you've literally written the book on having a happier retirement. And what are some of the first things you should do when you actually cross that bridge? Because when you make the decision to retire and actually retire, that is the culmination of maybe a years-long mental process to get you ready for that day.
Well, exactly. And you should start that process ideally 5 to 10 years before you hope to retire, where you're kind of to your activities in retirement. You certainly need the finances to line up, and a lot of my book is about that. But you also just have to have a visualization for your life in retirement. I think, unfortunately, too many people are just burned out. So they show up in retirement without really having given thought to what they'll do besides just Netflix and golf and travel. That's all important, but you also need to think about what will give you purpose and that sense of identity that maybe you got from your work. So get that visualization process started earlier rather than waiting until day one of retirement.
And it's not like even if you are technically retired from your full-time job, that doesn't mean you've hung up the gone fishing sign permanently. You can stay involved around your old job. You can do freelance work, or you could do volunteering, all sorts of other things that are fun, but also give you something to do.
Right. I have come to be a big believer in kind of phasing into retirement. Some people might say, I want nothing to do with this. I want to completely shed my work responsibilities. But for a lot of us, we do have aspects of our work that we enjoy. And if you can carry some of those things forward and do them longer, well, that will tend to give you that sense of purpose. It'll put you in contact probably with other human beings. I urge people to do what I call the Sunday night calendar test, where you're looking at your schedule for the week ahead. You're looking at those things on your calendar where you're like, oh, got to get through that day. And then you might have other things that are, much more enjoyable. As you move into retirement, if in negotiating with your employer, you can shed some of those things you don't love as much and bring forward and do more of the things that you like more, that will help you be able to enjoy working longer. And there's a financial benefit to working at least a little bit for longer. So if you can explore that, if you're willing to explore that, that redounds to the benefit of your financial plan.
Are people still generally retiring at 65, or are they stretching that out to 70 or beyond? Because today's 73-year-old or 74-year-old was born in 1950, and it wasn't that long ago when that 70-year-old was in their 40s, and maybe they still feel they have that vim and vigor, and they can push off retirement until maybe 74, 75, just because they still feel good.
Yeah, and that's a good plan for people who can do it and have health and are able to stay employed. That is a really great thing to ponder. We do see kind of an income and wealth disparity here where you've got a lot of folks who have jobs that are physically difficult to do, and they may encounter health conditions or their spouse has health conditions that cause them to retire earlier than even 65. So when we look at, I think the typical age for a lot of workers is like 62, but people who are better educated and wealthier are able to delay retirement longer. And kind of the perverse thing is that they probably need the financial piece a little less, but they're able to better take advantage of working longer.
Christine Benz, Director of Personal Finance and Retirement Planning at Morningstar in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on this Personal Finance Wednesday. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, a retail renaissance is unfolding at Chicago's top suburban malls.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Chicago area's top suburban malls like Woodfield, Old Orchard, and Oak Brook are experiencing a retail renaissance. Let's get the latest now from Rachel Herzog, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Rachel, thank you for joining us today. And the last time we checked in on the state of the shopping mall in the Chicago area, it's always a list of places where people used to go that are now being torn down, redeveloped into housing developments, places like Golf Mill. But some of the big names are actually doing quite well. If the retail apocalypse has happened, it didn't make it to Schaumburg or Skokie.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. Thanks for having me. I think I chose to focus on Schaumburg with this story since it's really known as this retail hub. But really, a lot of these other big suburbs are also experiencing vacancy that's quite low. Retailers still want to set up shop in the suburbs.
And what is it what are some of the forces that are making these kind of marquee shopping malls attractive destinations in 2024?
Yeah, so it's kind of a rising tide lifts all boats situation where you have, Woodfield Mall, but then you have all these other smaller shopping centers that kind of draft off of it, which makes Schaumburg or some of these other big suburbs a destination for where retailers or restaurants want to be. If you're looking to get a foothold in the market, you're, at the confluence of these two major expressways, it's kind of the place to be.
Now, we've been talking about some of the struggles that the Magnificent Mile North Michigan Avenue has been having in terms of attracting marquee retailers, but also the big restaurants that serve the tourists who used to flock on North Michigan Avenue. Is this simply a case of retailers looking at the environment and then shifting to the suburbs because that's where the shoppers are?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of factors. I think with work from home trends, you still have people, who are out in the suburbs who might not be traveling downtown. So that foot traffic downtown certainly takes a hit. With Schaumburg, you have, a large, diverse community. You've got a lot of people to serve with retail right there.
Now, Woodfield Mall is especially interesting because the former Sears store has closed, and that there's some symbolism there because Woodfield got its name from two members of the Sears executive team at the time. And Sears is gone, but that's a lot. It's a big space, and other companies are moving in.
Yeah. So the fashion chain Primark has moved into part of that former Sears store. And what you're really seeing with these chains like Sears, like Bed Bath & Beyond, like Bye Bye Baby that have, gone bankrupt or gone away is that, other retailers are kind of quickly coming in to take their place, even if it's, a smaller amount of space or if it's a more experiential focused retailer.
Now, is this strictly something that can only work at a Woodfield, Old Orchard, or Oakbrook? Or if you're a suburb that's trying to revitalize a dying shopping mall, can you hope that you can benefit from this trend?
I mean, I think there's a lot of factors here. I think, you know, something that we've seen in other suburbs that we haven't seen in Schaumburg is developers building apartments near or kind of on the campus of a mall. So like that built-in customer base, that live, work, play situation. So I think we're in the process of seeing how these redevelopments and how these different approaches will play out.
Rachel Herzog, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.